it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Glad you could join us this week for Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. I'm looking forward to today's show. This is the first show of our continuing series of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon podcast that we are officially, 100% officially, part of the Tech Podcast Network.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
That's right. If it's tech, it's here. And that's the great thing about the Tech Podcast Network. All of us are doing Tech Podcasts. Go figure. Well, there you go. Well, we've had a great week on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog. We've done a lot more blogging this week than we have in past weeks, which is good because that's kind of what you need to do on a blog is to blog. And, oh, by the way, before I forget, I know some of you guys are just on pins and needles waiting for me to tell you that this is Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon podcast number 24. Number 24. For February the 18th, 2006. So here we are, February the 18th. My. This month is just getting right on past us. All right, let's see what we were blogging about this week. First one, this is a really neat article because it has to do with something that I think you'll find really, really useful. If you've ever had a computer that had any Norton, Symantec Norton product on it, you're going to really appreciate the software because getting rid of that Norton product is a pain. Oh, man, it's not enough to run add remove programs. I mean, it is hard to get rid, particularly of Norton antivirus. Oh, man, it's hard to get rid of that program. I have done it. It's taken a lot of time, effort, and energy, but first you run add remove programs. Then you have to delete the directory, usually after rebooting. Then you have to go into the registry and clean out all traces of Symantec and Norton. Then if you reboot, if things all went well, maybe you've gotten rid of it. I'll tell you, it's like a virus. It's like adware. It's hard to get rid of. But Norton has finally, ostensibly, admitted that it's hard to get rid of their software. So they've come out with a piece of software that they've written that will actually remove all the traces of their software. Now, you're probably asking the same question that I did in the blog, and that is, well, if they could write a program that would do that, why not just write their add remove programs to do that? You know, I mean, duh. You know, make it to where you can uninstall the program by uninstalling the program. Well, that just kind of goes to show that they really expect you to put their program on there and never, ever take it off. You have been assimilated. So there you go. This is a nice little program. It's kind of a secret one. They don't go around and trumpet it because obviously they're not interested in you taking their software off of your PC. But it's there, the Norton Uninstaller program that actually works. And while you're at it, as long as you're taking Norton antivirus off your computer, you might as well put AVG from Grisoft on your computer because it's free and it's excellent. And I've seen it many, many, many times find things that Norton won't find. So I'd encourage you, there's a link there in the blog to go over to the free AVG antivirus and get that. That will be excellent. All right, while we're talking about things that are excellent, you know, I'm sitting here watching the snow just come down so fluffily here on a Saturday afternoon here in Greensboro, North Carolina, and it's just kind of coming down. It's just kind of nice. Ah, yes, very relaxing. Anyway, I digress. The other thing I wanted to mention, by the way, is if you go to the blog and you look over on the right-hand side, you'll notice this very colorful little piece of, I guess, art you might call it. I don't know. Anyway, it says, click here to stick a pin in Dr. Bill's Frapper Podcast Listener Map. I'd really appreciate it if you do that. You may say, what in the world is Frapper? Actually, I'm not entirely sure what it is, per se. But basically, it allows you to Put a little pin wherever your location is if you are in a group of people with the same interest. And in this case, the same interest that I'd like to encourage you all to join is to put a pin in the map to show that you're listening to the podcast. Now, there's already several people that have done that since I mentioned it in the blog and have asked them to do that. We've got 5 members so far. Big 5 members. One is me in Greensboro, North Carolina. You know, hey, I'm going to be a member of my own group. Another one's somebody from Greensboro that didn't leave their name. Okay, they're anonymous. That's okay. Sam Jones Sam Jones Hagen in Lower Saxony, Germany. That's cool. Adam Winter from Charlotte. Hey, Adam. Nice to see you're out there. And Stefan Pelosi. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. If I'm not, then Stefan, please forgive me. From Prahova in Romania. That's very cool. And that's a good start, given that we haven't really talked about it on the podcast yet. But I did want to encourage everybody that's listening, please, 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 I'm begging, I'm down on my knees. Oh, man. Please put a pin in my map. It would just make me feel so good to see people from all over the world. We've already got people from all over the world that are listening. I know we've got somebody over in Nevada. You know, I have got an email from them recently, and different other folks. Come on, folks, put a pin in the map. You know, I mean, if you want to pretend you're putting a pin in Dr. Bill, go ahead and do that. That's fine. But put it in the map, and there's no obligation, no need for concern. It'll just be fun to see where folks are at out there, and I encourage you to do that. All right. Let's see, where did we leave off? Oh, I know, we were talking about some of the blog entries. One of them is kind of interesting. You know, President Bush, in his recent State of the Union message, mentioned the fact that America's too dependent on foreign oil. Hey, we know that, we've known that for a long time. But he is encouraging the development of ethanol. Now, ethanol is one of those fuels that I am very, very, very up on. I'm very excited about, because it just makes good sense. For instance, let me give you some background. In America, we have a lot of farmers that farm a lot of land to the point that the government sometimes pays them not to farm. This is weird, I know. Because it puts too much of a given product out into the economy, and the product price drops so precipitously that it would affect the market adversely, and so they say, okay, look, if you'll not grow a crop, we'll pay you not to grow the crop. Now, I know that's very bizarre, and I find that strange. However, if we've got such a glut of people with ability to grow things, why not put them to work growing corn, for instance? Take that corn, and instead of using it for food, I mean, that's great, we use as much as we need, but everything that's over that, turn it into ethanol, okay? And ethanol is an excellent fuel. It's very efficient. It runs very well in cars, very clean, burns very cleanly. So it's not only, it's a clean fuel, it's a renewable resource, and it's something we can grow right here at home. And I think that's great. So why aren't we doing it? Oh, I can think of a lot of reasons maybe that the oil industry might not be quite as excited, or perhaps the lobbyist for the oil industry might not be all that excited. But, man, all of our farmers would benefit. Come on, let's come out with these cars that use these flex fuels. There's more and more of those coming out. But now they're talking about that they can actually make ethanol from something other than just corn, which, of course, can also be used as food. They can actually make it from plant stalks. In other words, you could harvest a crop, harvest the part of the crop that is beneficial in terms of food, and then all the stalks that are left over that would be waste, turn that into ethanol. Pretty neat. So, in a sense, you're kind of recycling, in that you're growing a crop, but then the stuff that's left over from the crop, instead of just, you know, tossing it, you turn that into ethanol. Man, it's getting better all the time. So let's do it. Come on, folks. Ethanol, one of the many ways that we can be free of foreign oil. Excellent idea. Go for it. All right. The next thing I want to do for you here is I want to share one of my, I don't know if you call it one of my favorite groups, but definitely a group that's a lot of fun, and that is Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. And you say, what? Yeah, I know it's weird. It's very bizarre. But Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie, and I don't know why they added in a baggie, but you remember a few weeks ago, I played Every OS Sucks by Three Dead Trolls. Well, apparently in more recent releases, that was a very old one, they have added to their nom de plume, so to speak, and now they're Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. Anyway, they came out with a little comedy routine, cartoon, flash cartoon, that's how Microsoft really works. And this being a podcast, I can't show you the video. You'll have to click on the link and watch the little cartoon that way by going to the blog and clicking on it. But I can play you the audio. So without any further ado, in the sense of providing for you geek culture, let's go listen to how Microsoft really works.
Whistler, it's the code name for the next generation of the Windows OS. Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie's Westborg takes you behind the scenes for a sneak peek at the future of Windows.
I'm currently sitting in the office of Whistler's product manager, Paul Mather. Paul, what's the number one difference between Whistler and today's version of Windows?
Wes, we here at Microsoft really looked at what people use their computers for, at home or in the office, and we've been working hard at improving that one key feature.
And what key feature is that?
Solitaire. We found out people mostly use their computers for solitaire, so we've rewritten it from the ground up.
Wow, I see.
As well, you'll no longer have to play solitaire by yourself. We now have an exciting two-person version of solitaire.
It's incredible.
Fantastic. Would you like to go down to our labs and see where our engineers are working on the next generation of Microsoft's products?
Why, I'd be honored.
Okay. You know, Wes, in the future, Windows will be able to control not only computers and laptops, but television sets, parking meters, telephones, cars, bird cages, cheese graters, battleships, and pants.
Pants?
That's right, pants. Digital pants, or smarty pants, are a big part of our overall strategy.
Huh.
Okay, this is our programming department.
Now, Paul, I have to ask you, who is that man sealed up in the glass box over there in the corner?
Well, as you know, Wes, inside every computer is a little man who makes the computer work. So in order to program Windows to operate your computer, our programmers have to practice on a normal-sized man in a box and then, of course, shrink everything down.
Of course. But why are your programmers poking him with sticks?
Well, it's their lunch hour.
I see. And what about the Internet?
Well, if you'll just step into this giant elevator, we'll head down to the Internet lab.
Fantastic. Gee, how deep does this elevator go, Paul?
Down to the center of the Earth, Wes.
Is that right?
Yeah. We're heading deep into the Earth's core, where a race of mole people are working hard 24 hours a day debugging the latest version of Internet Explorer.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're here. Why don't we step out and have a look at Bill Gates' Mole Man Army?
Okay, now the first thing I'm noticing here, Paul, is that they're all chained to their desks.
Well, that's true, Wes, and I guess I'm going to have to come clean with you here and admit that the mole men are pretty much our slaves.
Oh, I see.
And as well, to be perfectly honest, we've lured you here to the center of the Earth so as to force you to join our mole man army.
Well, I don't want to join your mole man army.
Resistance is futile, Wes.
Back off. I'm packing heat.
Hey, that gun'll do you no good, Wes. Don't force me to use my digital pants.
I am warning you. Back off.
Digital pants, activate! Okay, well, my digital pants have crashed. It looks like there's a IRQ conflict. You know, it's a beta garment.
I guess you're vanquished.
You know, Wes, all we here at Microsoft wanted was for people to like us, but everyone's always mad at us. We're always in court. The mole men are all grumpy.
Here, have a hanky.
Thanks. All we ever wanted was love.
Well, there you have it, folks. All Microsoft ever wanted was love. That and billions of dollars.
Yeah, let's get to.
Thanks for the tour, Paul.
Nobody loves me.
Look, give me my hanky bag.
It's mine now.
Right. So, I don't think he'd want his hanky back anyway, given what he did with it. Anyway, there you go, how Microsoft really works. Now, granted, that was a little bit of an older video because they were calling what is now known to be Windows Vista. They were calling it Whistler because that was the code name, and when this was done, that's what it was known as Whistler. But at least it's good to get an insight onto exactly how Microsoft really does work. And it explains a lot, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and as such, we want to share with you other tech podcasts that are out there that would be a benefit to you. So let's go to a little promo for the one-minute tip.
Short on time? Check out the One-Minute Tip, a collection of short podcasted tips, interviews, quick starts, and videos covering the technologies we use every day. A great little podcast to wedge between the minutes of your busy day. Check out the One-Minute Tip at www.oneminutetip.com.
There you go, the One-Minute Tip. You can't waste too much time with that, can you? There you go. All right. Well, I trust you're enjoying the podcast this week. I kind of really got into that, how Microsoft really works. You know, as I said, it just explains so much. Well, things are happening in the computer world. Firefox, we love Firefox, don't we? The Firefox web browser now has 10% of the entire web browser market share. Whoa, that's cool. They've been in single digits so long, it's kind of nice to see them get up into the double digits. And it's gaining against Microsoft. And the more gain Firefox has, the less people are using Internet Explorer. And you got to admit, that's a good thing. Because that's how many of the evils that occur on the Internet occur, is through Internet Explorer. So, use Firefox. Go to Mozilla.com right now. Download it if you haven't already. You will thank me for it, believe me. All right, the other thing is I put another little geek culture deal on the blog this week by showing a cartoon showing Leo and Patrick getting the lowdown on John C. Dvorak. Yes, you know, to give you a little background on this, John C. Dvorak this week talked about the fact that he feels that Apple will eventually be running Windows on the Mac computer instead of OS X. That's pretty much completely insane. So, given that, the folks at the Joy of Tech cartoon did a little cartoon that shows Patrick and Leo getting the word from a doctor. And here's what the doctor says. He says, "I'm afraid the news is not good. Although it seemed like he was making progress lately, your friend has now had a relapse. The severe delusions and intense psychosis has returned, and they're manifesting themselves in his work. In layman's terms, John C. Dvorak has totally lost it." And then there's John in a straitjacket behind the glass window, you know, the mirrored window. "Listen to me, Apple computer is going to ditch the Mac OS for Microsoft Windows. It's true, do you hear me? Apple is switching to Windows." Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And, of course, that's exactly the point. So I thought that was kind of fun, too. And then one last item is, and that is that FrontPage is dead. Microsoft has announced that they are pulling FrontPage out of the premium Office product. That's right. They're pulling FrontPage. They're going to retire the name. They're basically going to split it into two separate products, one for their SharePoint tool, and the other one will be, I guess, more of a regular web editor, but it will be extra, and it will cost a lot of money. Remember what we found out from our How Microsoft Works? They're after billions and billions of dollars. Yeah. Well, there you go. But you know what? I just about don't use FrontPage anymore. I really don't. Because I have switched to InView. InView is open source. InView is totally free. And InView rocks. So you need to go to InView.com. Download InView. Tell everybody that you know that uses FrontPage, go use InView. And again, you will thank me for it. I guarantee you. So come on, do that. And I tell you what, you can't go wrong. InView is just an excellent, excellent product. Now, let me just share with you a couple of things that are going to be coming on the horizon. One is, we're going to have a special show in very short order on how to make your computer sing. Well, not literally sing, but how to make it run so fast, so smoothly, you will be blown away. Now, I'm talking about Windows, okay? You know, if you're running Linux, you're going, Dr. Bill, you don't have to make that happen. It happens already. Okay. But I'm talking Windows. Windows XP, I'm going to have a special program, I believe, next week, as a matter of fact, if my schedule is correct on this. We're going to show you how to tune Windows so that it runs just so amazingly fast. You'll go, what in the world has happened to my computer? It'll be almost like it's getting a CPU upgrade without getting a CPU upgrade. And, of course, if you get a CPU upgrade and do this too, it's going to be even faster. So you can maybe do both if you want to. But anyway, it's going to be neat. You need to tune in. So mark your calendars for next Saturday when we'll be sharing on how to speed your computer up. So there you go. And as I mentioned, we're part of the Tech Podcast Network. So go to techpodcast.com and listen to some of the other podcasts from some of the other members there. They're all good folks, and they're all kid safe, family safe. So I'd encourage you to listen to other tech podcasts, because as we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, if it's tech, it's here. All right. I trust you've enjoyed the podcast this week. And, well, you know, we didn't do quite as much curmudgeonly things, didn't do a lot of groaning and moaning. Had a lot more fun this week than we typically do, and that's good. And again, I want to encourage you, please go to my Frapper map, put a pin in it. Oh, that would just mean so much. And also send me emails. I want to hear from you. Those of you that have sent me emails and asked questions, I really, really appreciate it. And, of course, the email address, drbilldrbill@thecomputercurmudgeon.com. thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Okay, let's go slowly. Computer, C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R, curmudgeon, C-U-R-M-U-D-G-E-O-N.com. You send me an email and ask me a question, and we'll do a question and answer broadcast. How's that? Or podcast, maybe I should say, since we're technically recording as opposed to broadcasting. But you knew that, didn't you? Yeah, thought you did. All right, well, I guess it's about that time, isn't it? So we're going to slide on out of here. And remember, until next week, the doctor is out. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, I kind of thought you did.